Welcome to the Hope Elim Podcast.
We are a diverse church in the heart of Des Moines, seeking to bring God's kingdom as we live more like Jesus.
We hope that what you're about to hear points you to Jesus Christ. Know that we're praying for you and look forward to connecting with you soon.
I would love to introduce myself. There might be someone here today who has not attended our church, and I'm Minister Bonnie Williams. I help to oversee the adult discipleship classes. We just want to tell you from our heart to yours that we are so incredibly glad that you are here. If you have any questions, please know that we are here to answer them, and welcome. So we are going to jump right in. As you know, we have been doing a sermon series. It is Bible heroes after God's own heart. And if anybody would have the testimony that God has not given up on her yet, it was Mary Magdalene. And Mary Magdalene changed the world. God used her to change the world. So you might be asking today, what's the big deal about Mary Magdalene and how did she arrive in our current series? Well, you better hold on to your pews today, because I'm here to tell you that her story is incredibly empowering, and it has the supernatural power to be able to transform what we think and what we believe about ourselves, if you are ready to receive it. Is anybody here ready to receive a word from the Lord today? All right. So in a nutshell, here's what we're going to be learning today. Mary's life mattered to God. Mary's suffering mattered to God. Mary's testimony mattered to God. And here's what I want you to know. This message about Mary Magdalene, it's empowering to all of us because God recorded her story in His book for eternity. And if God, the creator of all universe, made the decision that Mary Magdalene would be recorded in all eternity, then I want you to know what He's saying to us is that if her testimony and her suffering and her life mattered to God, God wants you to know that your life, your suffering, and your testimony matters to God too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the sweet spirit here today. We pray that the person of the Holy Spirit would rest, rule, and abide in our hearts as you preach the word of God. And Father God, let the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight, my rock and my redeemer. Heavenly Father, your word promises to never come back void. And I just pray that you would speak in such a way, because your children are listening. We'll be very, very careful to give you all of the glory and all of the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So are y'all ready? Oh, we can do better than that. Y'all ready? All right. Hit it, Eric. We're going to see a video clip about Mary Magdalene. The reason why I wanted to show you that clip from the series The Chosen is because it reveals the deep compassion and the love and the care that Jesus had for Mary. And whether Mary knew it or not, whether she realized that no matter what it was that she was experiencing, no matter where she went, Jesus had never taken his eyes off of her. God, who created her out of his great love, knew that when she was hurting and struggling, broken and in need of a healing. And I want to be here to tell you today that he sees us too. Amen. That it doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what direction your life is taking. It doesn't matter the situation, the circumstance. It doesn't matter how much you're hurting. God wants you to know that he has never taken his eye off of you. And not only that, he is moved to meet us right where we are at. And if he is more than able to save Mary, if he's more than able to heal Mary, then I'm here to tell you the good news that he is more than able to save and to heal us. Amen. So what I want to do is I want to unpack for you first the significance of Mary's story and how it applies to all of us. So the first thing we're going to look at and we're going to talk about is that Mary's life mattered to God. Did you know that Mary Magdalene's name was mentioned 13 times in the Gospels? 3 times in Matthew, 3 times in Mark, twice in Luke, and 5 times in John. Now, you might be thinking at the moment, well, okay, why is this particular fact significant? Well, I'm here to tell you, because in Scripture, being named matters. In fact, did you know that her particular name appears more than these disciples? Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Bartholomew, Thaddeus, Simon the Zealot. That is almost a collective half of all of the disciples. And here's the thing, there are many examples in the Word of God where we read that Jesus would heal people and their names were not mentioned. I'll give you a few examples. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus heals the blind man at the pool of Bethesda. We do not know his name. In Luke chapter 6, Jesus heals the man with the withered hand at the synagogue. We do not know his name. In Mark chapter 5, Jairus, a synagogue ruler, begs Jesus to heal his daughter. We do not know her name. Well, let me say this. When a gospel writer decided to tell you the name of someone, that's how you know that it really matters, which means that the person's name, when it is mentioned over and over and over again, it is letting us know that this person is of great significance and vitally important. God himself is telling us that he wants us to remember her name. And how do we know that? Because he wrote it in the Word for all eternity. And let me say this, even in addition to that, did you know that the way that the names are mentioned in Scripture, in the order of significance? In our text, for example, it says this, Mary Magdalene, Joanne, the wife of Chuza, manager of Herod's household, Susanna, and many others. As you see, she is mentioned first. And just to drive this point home, Peter, nothing but Peter mess. That when he is mentioned, when they talk about the disciples, Peter's name is almost always mentioned first in the order of significance. And why does Mary belong in this sermon series? Well, I'm here to tell you. Pastor Brown preached last week a powerful message about being all the way in for Jesus. And if anybody is an example of faith, if anybody is an example of giving herself over to her Lord and Savior, it is Mary Magdalene. I'm here to tell you, she was all the way in. You know, our text in verse 3 says this, they, meaning the women mentioned, were contributing from their own resources to support Jesus and his disciples. What I love is that Luke did not play around with those words, sis. Luke made sure that he wanted to put it in plain language. And one of the things that's interesting back then, and you need to understand, rabbis were not given a salary. Rabbis depended on and relied on the hospitality and the support of others who believed in the work that they were doing. So I guess we can probably say and fairly say, Mary was not strapped for cheddar. Because it talks about how she supported Jesus and everything that was going on with the mission of sharing the good news out of her own pocket. You know, let me just share this with you. A person's heart is tied to what they value most in life. Your heart is tied to what you value most in life. Jesus spoke about this truth when he stated, "For where your treasure is, then your heart will be also." What I find very interesting, and please hear my heart because I'm speaking from a personal testimony. When Mary understood who Jesus was, when Mary received the healing, when Mary came into right relationship, there was not anything that she was not willing to do. She was all the way in. There are so many people here in the house of God today that is blessed beyond measure. And all God says is, you know what? Keep the 90, give me the 10. Where your heart is where your treasure is. So are we all the way in? Do you understand that there are people who are in need? And God is saying, listen, as we are the body of Christ, we need to become obedient and we need to understand that there is work to be done. Amen? When is the last time that you have given of your time, of your treasure, of your talent? You walk throughout the day breathing because God lets you breathe. You walk the day knowing that when you lay down that you believe that God is going to wake you up. You get up every day believing and having faith that all of the things that you need, that they are going to be there. And can I tell you who has given it to you? It is God and God alone. How are you telling God that you're all the way in? The Bible says that we know a tree by its fruit. God is not interested in our words. He's interested in our walk. And God wants to be able to see that we are all the way in. And can I tell you, I would love to tell you that I've always been all the way in. I would love to tell you that that song does not apply to me, that there are times that I literally say I want to give up, that I am tired, that this is hard. Is it hard? Come on, somebody better preach to me. But I'm here to tell you, there will never be anything more hard than what Jesus Christ did for us. Thank God he did not quit on us. Thank God that he did what God called him to do out of obedience, out of a surrendered heart. Amen? You know, like Mary, our lives matter. Every part of our lives matter to God. And there is not one person in this room that God loves more than the other. Do you hear me? There is not one person sitting in this room that God does not love more than the other. There is not one person in this room that God does not value more than another. God's desire is that he uses each and every one of us because the Bible says God is not a respecter of persons. Do you know what he cares about? Can I tell you what Mary teaches us? Can I tell you? Mary Magdalene surrendered her heart to Christ. She gave everything to Jesus. She was faithful, and she did not allow any obstacles to stand in her way of her obedience. And I heard this morning, and I just got to share it. I love this. It is not about our ability. It is about our vulnerability. Is it about our willingness to stand before Christ and say, I would imagine like Mary did when she began to follow after Jesus Christ, saying, I have no idea where you are going, but I'm going to follow. I have no idea what you're going to ask of me, but because of what you've done for me, I want to give it all. God, I just want to give you a surrendered heart. And that is something that each and every one of us in this room can give God. It is not about your ability. It is about your vulnerability and your love and your willingness to be able to become all that God has called you to be. And can I tell you, if we're not careful, we will allow our past, we will allow the current trials and the tribulations and the struggles and the pain of our life to pull us away and cause us to doubt our God-given value, our purpose, and even our identity. What if Mary, as if she was following Jesus, what if Mary, while she was serving alongside him, decided to take her eye off of Jesus and begin to listen to the crowd? What if Mary began to pay attention to the fact that the towns that they were coming in, that the men who still believed in what the Hebrew community thought, that women were not to be out in public, that they were not to be utilizing their voices, that they were property? What if she would have listened to that? Where would we be? Do you understand that Mary is the one that brought the good news to us? Mary is the one that leaned down and looked into the womb, and the angels came and said, go and tell the disciples that Jesus Christ has risen. It is because of Mary's faith that we know that we have a risen Christ. I am so glad that Mary did not do that. It is because of her that we have an example that it doesn't matter what it is that we need to overcome. God will give us the strength to be able to keep our eyes on Jesus Christ. And God wants me to tell you this. I don't know what it is that might be in your past. I don't know what your current trials are. I don't know what anybody else has to say about you or not say about you. Can I just say this to you? That's not the way God sees you. Amen? We need to learn how to speak life to ourselves. We need to learn how to know the word and to be able to stand in the midst of whatever it is that is coming in our direction and wanting to pull us away from God. We will stand and we will say, I will not choose to believe. I want to believe what God has to say to me. Do you want to know what happens when you begin to believe what God has to say to you? You wear shoes like that. Please hear my heart. I am not saying that in pride. What I am saying to you is that you are looking at a girl that all of her life growing up, I felt like I was nothing. My dad abandoned me. My mother didn't have time for me. My sister had no desire to have a relationship. It just was all of these things. And then when I got older and I began to make decisions early on in my life because I wasn't getting the love that I needed to get. I know somebody's going to track with me on this, that when you don't get the love that it is that you need, that you begin to make decisions that take you further and further and further away from who it is that God had already ordained you to be. But then I met a man. Then I met a man, and his name is Jesus. And he said, Bonnie, he said, I love you and I'm for you. And I began to apply the word of God and to tell myself, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. How well I know it. That God knit me together and he placed me in my mother's womb, and that I have purpose, and that every moment of my life is written in his book, and that he has got a plan and a purpose for me. And I'm here to tell you that God is saying the same to each and every one of you. Yeah. Amen. One of my favorite scriptures is in the passage of the video that we saw, and I want you to take a look. Isaiah 43:1 says, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. What you need to understand is that, like Mary, we need to be introduced to Jesus, because every single one of us has messed up in our lives. The Bible says there is no one righteous, no, not one. David tells us in Psalms, he says that when my mother conceived me, that I was born into iniquity, that sin separates us from the very presence and relationship of God. And what you need to understand is that in that video, it was so beautiful. Jesus wrapped his arms of love around her, and he said, listen, he said, I am here to redeem you. Jesus Christ paid the price. He poured out his blood. Jesus Christ made us right. I love the scripture that says that it was Jesus Christ's righteousness that was given to us so that we can be made right with God. We don't earn that righteousness. We don't deserve his righteousness. Jesus Christ said, I want to just give it to you. That's why salvation is a free gift. So for anybody here today who thinks that you've got to do A, B, C, D, E, and F, and you are striving and you are working, and you think that you've got to earn God's love and earn his favor and earn what God wants to give you, no, no, no. No. He stands and he says, I love you right here and right now. Mary Magdalene could do nothing to receive what Jesus Christ was offering other than a surrendered heart. Open up your heart. Open yourself up to receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. There will never be, ever, anyone who will love you and value you and affirm you and be there for you like Jesus. Amen? His prayer is that you would believe that today. My prayer is that you would believe that today. And can I say this? Please know that it's an ongoing work. I'm right here. Testify. There are days where I wake up and there are thoughts in my mind and things that I'm thinking about. And I, unfortunately, will take minutes or time. And brother, before I even know it, I'm entertaining those thoughts. And you know what happens? Scripture says that our thoughts determine our actions. Our thoughts determine our actions. Our thoughts determines our actions. The Bible says, as a man, as a child, as a woman thinks in her heart, so shall they become. So when is the last time that you've spoken life over yourself? When is the last time, regardless of what it is that you're going through or what people are saying or not saying? And can I tell you this? The one thing that you better learn is that you have got to stop depending on people to be able to assign the value and the worth and the purpose that God has for you. You've got to be able to stand up and say, sparkly shoes and all. I am who God says I am. I'm going to do what God has called me to do because I know a man, and his name is Jesus. I got to tell you a really cute story. I was standing out in the foyer, and a mother comes up, and she says, I just want to tell you thank you for wearing your sparkly shoes. And I said, oh, yeah? And she, her face just kind of got a little serious, and she said, I took my daughter who doesn't seem like she loves herself. Doesn't seem like she values herself. And we were out shopping for shoes. And she said, and something happened that I never thought would happen in my wildest dreams. And I said, what's that? And she said, my daughter opened up her mouth and she said, hey, mama, I see the sparkly shoes on the shelf. And if Minister Bonnie can wear them, then I can wear them. That does not have anything to do. What I'm saying is that what she was doing in that moment was assigning herself value. She was saying, did you hear the verbiage? She said, I can. She loved herself in that moment to say, I want to wear a little bit of sparkle. Do you have any idea how many people, if you were to have conversations, if you were to listen to their heart posture long enough and the words that come out of our mouth, that they don't even like who they are? They don't even know who they are. And so God wants to make sure that you know who you are. Mary's life mattered to God. Your life. Every moment of your life matters to God. What we're going to talk about next and what we're going to learn from Mary is that Mary's suffering, what she went through in her life, Mary's suffering mattered to God. You might be familiar, right, in the text. We hear it over and over and over again. It says, Mary Magdalene suffered from being demon-possessed. And not just a little possessed, a lot possessed. I know that you all read your words, so how many demons was she possessed with?
Seven.
Not one, not three, not five, seven. Look at our text. It says in Luke 8:2. He took his 12 disciples with him, along with some women who had been cured of evil spirits and diseases. Among them were Mary Magdalene, from whom he had cast out seven demons. Over and over and over in Scripture, it mentions the amount of demons that she was possessed. One of the things that I just think it brings me comfort, it brings me encouragement, is because here's the thing. I think that a lot of times we think that we're too far gone for God. I think a lot of times we think that the decisions that we've made or what we're currently doing or what our situation is that we are too far gone for God. But I'm here to tell you that if God can touch Mary Magdalene because of a surrendered heart and God can do whatever it is that she needed to do, he can do it for you. And in the Word, we don't know what Mary's symptoms were. We don't know how she was acting when she met Jesus, but we do know that she was in desperate need of help. Can we agree? She was a prisoner of her affliction. And Jesus was the only one that could save her. And he did. No wonder Mary financially gave it all. No wonder Mary was willing to follow Jesus wherever it was that he was going. No wonder she was willing to be all the way in, because Jesus had literally saved her life. And like Mary, our suffering matters to God. How do we know this? Well, anybody here, has he saved you from any affliction? Has he brought you out of any addiction? Has he healed your heart? Has he healed your body? Has he saved your soul? I'm here to tell you right here and right now, Jesus deserves all of my commitment. He deserves for me to say that I am all the way in, because I'm here to tell you, I don't have time to unpack it, but you don't know my story, but he does. And only God could bring me to where I'm at now in my life. He has healed me. He has saved me. He has brought me to this place of blessing. 2 Corinthians says this, and this is pertaining to why God uses our suffering. He comforts us in all of our troubles so that we can comfort others. When they are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that God has given us. For the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with the comfort through Christ. If you've gone through a divorce, who better to comfort someone who is going through a divorce? If you have been addicted to drugs, alcohol, whatever it may be, and God has literally taken your hand and lifted you up out of the muck and mire, and you see someone coming along who is in the same position that you used to be, who better for God to use than you? There are people in this room that have lost children. How much more could it be than to be a parent and you lose your child before you leave this earth? So who better to comfort another family than to one who has been through that? Who better than a master thief? Don't judge me. No, I'm being for real. That was my coping mechanism from all of the things. We all have coping mechanisms, if you didn't know, that take you away from God. And I will tell you that while I was in jail, yes, Minister Bonnie was in jail. What? I didn't have my sparkly shoes then. That while I was there, and it was something that had plagued me my whole life as a little kid, and I was sitting in the jail cell, and I remember crying out, and I said, God, help me. And can I tell you what he said to me? He said, is this who you are? Do you understand the power of that? It's like Mary Magdalene. It's like us. He said it, and he said it again because I didn't answer. He said, is this who you are? I had to make a decision. And I said, no, God, this is not who I am. And then you know what he said? He said, then stop doing what you're doing. And you know what? When I came out, I repented. I made amends to all of the people that I had done wrong, and God had freed me from that. And I'm here to tell you, the suffering that we go through, Mary's suffering that she went through, it mattered to God. The suffering that we go through, it matters to God, because he wants to use it for his glory. Who better than to tell somebody else, man, I know where you've been. I've been there. And if God came and he rescued me, man, he can rescue you too. That's what he does. So now we have learned that Mary's life mattered to God. Her suffering mattered to God. Our lives matter to God. Our suffering matters to God. And now we're going to talk about Mary's testimony, that it mattered to God. Here's some very interesting information. Very few people were present at both the crucifixion and the resurrection. In fact, every gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all agree that the only one mentioned that was at both was Mary Magdalene. Why is this so important? Why is this fact so important? Because you need to understand that she, being the key witness, carries tremendous weight, because back then in the Hebrew community, women were not valued. Their words were not valued. In fact, women's testimonies were considered so worthless that if there was ever a legal situation or a Jewish court and somebody would come and say, hey, I got a woman who will come and testify for me, the legal system would say, the courts would say, don't even bother. Because what they have to say means absolutely nothing. It carries no weight. So here's my question for you. If you are a gospel writer, and your goal and complete aim is to convince the entire world that Jesus is the Messiah, why in the world would you pick a woman? Do you think about that? And here's the thing. Biblical scholars have argued the fact that the women were the first to see and proclaim the empty tomb, and it builds credibility and authenticity, because if the disciples were lying, they sure of heck would have not invented women as the witnesses. Can we get an amen? All right. And did you know that Jesus, when he rose from the dead, that he only let the people that loved him see him? Pilate was not given an opportunity to see Christ. Judas, he'd not appear to the high priest or the centurion or the Pharisees. In the gospel accounts, Jesus only appeared to those that loved him. And here's the thing about Mary. Jesus appears to the women because the women did not abandon him at his time of greatest need. Go on with yourself, women. Come on, we're bad mama jammas. Amen? Peter abandoned Jesus. The disciples allowed Jesus to suffer alone. There was only one beloved disciple, one man who stood by Jesus Christ, and Mary Magdalene and the mother of Mary and other women was the beloved disciple John. But I'm here to tell you something. That's why that song was so amazing, because there are going to be moments in our lives as Christians, as followers of Jesus Christ, that we are going to fail God, that we're not going to have a surrendered heart, that we're not going to do what we know in our hearts that we should be doing. Is that right? And I'm here to tell you that Jesus looked beyond that failure, and he was able to see the surrendered heart in those men, and he restored them anyway. I am so grateful and thankful that God restores us over and over and over again. Listen, let's take a look real quick at the scripture that talks about when Mary left the tomb and ran to tell the disciples. Let's take a look. This is Mark 16, 9 through 11. After Jesus rose from the dead early on Sunday morning, the first person who saw him was Mary Magdalene, the woman from whom he had cast out seven demons. She went to the disciples who were grieving and weeping, and she told them what happened. Now take a look. But when she told them that Jesus was alive and that she had seen them, they did not believe her. What? This is the same woman who walked with them, who served alongside them, who showed her faithfulness. And yet, it is just an indication to let us know that in that time, that's how serious it was, that women were not looked at as being a credible witness. I can only imagine in their minds, they were like, psh, Mary straight tripping. This girl is tripping. But the reality is that she experienced it for herself. The angels instructed her, and she went and did what God had called her to do. And just as God chose Mary to be a witness and to testify about him keeping his promises, he chooses us. So we have a God who desires to use each and every one of us. Can you imagine that? I bet for a moment that Mary didn't think for a second of what God had in store for her. Do not ever underestimate how God wants to use you for the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen? Listen, many times we don't speak up for many different reasons. Maybe there's someone in the room that you have been made to feel insignificant, looked over. Maybe you have been told that your voice doesn't matter or that you don't have anything worth saying. Maybe you feel less valuable than others. But I'm here to encourage you right here and right now that all you have to do is take a look at Mary's testimony. All you've got to do is look and see what God did and understand that that is not how God sees you. Even if you view yourself that way, God does not. God wants us to understand and know that He will use us. He will use our testimony no matter what anybody else thinks or says. Amen? You know, your testimony could be the very words that brings a person to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ or gives them the hope that they need in the moment that they need it so that they know that they know that they know that Jesus will not abandon them. How many hands could go up in this house where over and over and over and over again, God, out of His great love for you, brings light across your path to tell you about how much God loves you, to encourage you, to let you know don't give up, to tell somebody that if they don't know who Jesus Christ is, that you can then tell them about your personal experience. Your testimony matters. Do you understand that the prayers of the righteous availeth much? Maybe you are an answer to somebody's prayer. And God needs you to step up. Do not be afraid. Do not step back from what God is asking of you. And can I just say this, and we're about to close. And this is for me personal, because I have always struggled with this mindset that it's some way, somehow, no matter what I do, no matter how well I do it, that I'm failing God. Because God has done so much for me, and I don't want to fail Him. So I'm here to tell you, He's not waiting for you to fix yourself up. He is not waiting for you to get it right. He's not waiting for you to try harder. What He's waiting for you to do is surrender. He wants you to surrender so that His strength can be made perfect in your weakness. God cannot operate in pride. The Bible says that He draws near to the humble, but He resists the proud. So whatever it is that you need from God, whatever it is that you need to talk to Him about, humble yourself. Surrender your heart, and I promise you, He'll answer you. So as we close, I just want to remind you, your life matters to God. Your suffering matters to God. Your testimony matters to God. I just want to take a moment and say this. We're coming up on about 4 years for our anniversary. And Hope Elam, thank you for being the lighthouse. Thank you for being a beacon of hope. Thank you that when the world says that different races and cultures and people from all different backgrounds can't come together on Sunday morning and worship God together and love one another as Christ loves us, that yes, we can. For every yes in your spirit, every time that any one of you have come and volunteered your time, that you have come to be the church, God needs us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ. And I just want to tell you, this church is amazing. This church is awesome. And I only have one question. God has one question. And what He wants the answer to be is, yes, I'm all in. So the question is, are you all in? Yeah. Amen? Are we in? So before we stand up and worship, here's what you're going to do for me. And if you don't do it right, I'm going to ask again. So you might as well give me all you got. You ready? On the count of three, we're going to put our hands out and we're going to say all in. So you better do it right. Ready? On three, all in. One, two, three, all in. Let's worship.
Thanks so much for joining us. To find out more about Hope Elam, follow us on Instagram at hope.elam or visit our website at hope-elam.org.